Chapter 14. Lexi's shoulders slumped as she walked into the Brookridge Retirement Center. Her conversations with Floyd and Sam had been enlightening, but she felt a feeling of foreboding that most of the clues pointed to her elderly neighbors.
"Yoo-hoo, Lexi!"
Ida's voice boomed from across the room, pulling her from her thoughts. She headed toward the table where the three ladies were sitting, her heart sinking even lower when she realized Nans was not with them.
"Where's Nans?"
"Still not back." Ruth pulled out a chair and Lexi sat.
"We didn't have much luck with our searches."
Helen peered at Lexi over the tops of her half-moon glasses.
"What about you?"
"I'm not sure if you'd say I had luck, but I did get some new information. It's too bad what I found out has me more confused than anything else."
"What did you find out?" Ruth asked.
"Earl did hang around there," Lexi answered. "And it turns out he was a jerk there, too."
"Did your contact say if there was anyone in particular who might have wanted him dead?"
"Not really. But interestingly enough, he said that Violet Switzer had been asking around about Earl."
"Violet?"
Ida's face wrinkled in distaste.
"Were they competing in a contest?"
"He didn't know."
"Would Violet kill to win a contest?" Ruth asked. "So far, she hasn't had to," Helen answered. "She just annoys people so much that they lose because they are so rattled."
"Speaking of which," Lexi said, "I heard she used to live in my neighborhood and has since moved to Chapel Hill."
"That's right," Ida said. "She must have won enough prizes she could afford one of them fancy houses."
"Or got a big payoff for something," Lexi suggested.
"You don't think she had something to do with Earl, do you?"
Ruth asked. Lexi shrugged. "It's probably just wishful thinking, because my other suspects are all people I know. But she did come into some money to move to Chapel Hill. I just don't know when, or if it could be related to Earl's strange death."
"Well, it's easy enough to find out when she moved."
Ruth whipped an iPad out of her purse, placed it on the table, and started typing. A few seconds later, she said,
"Yep, she bought that house in the beginning of 1956. "Ha! I knew she was ruthless," Ida said. "She must have known he was gonna beat her in some contest, and she did away with him." "Now, Ida, that's speculation," Helen said. "Intimidating people to win a contest is one thing, but killing them is quite another. No one does that. At least, we better hope not, or Lexi might be next on her list," Ruth added.
Lexi frowned. "I was planning to visit her later." Helen held up her hand.
"Wait, this doesn't make sense. She couldn't have killed Earl and put him in the basement by herself. This isn't about winning a contest. There's got to be more to it."
That made Lexi feel a little better. She wanted to win the dessert contest, but she wasn't dying to win it.
"So, you think she had an accomplice?"
"Who?" Ruth asked.
"Maybe it wasn't her. Let's not get fixated on that, even though I really want it to be her," Ida said. "We need to explore all our clues methodically, like we do with every case."
"Did you guys find out anything about the insurance scam?" Lexi asked. "It seems more likely it has something to do with that than with a contest." Ruth shook her head.
"We didn't find a thing. Literally. Earl Shute had no bank accounts."
"What? That's odd."
"Yeah. Not only that, but he seems to be a ghost."
"A ghost?" Ruth made a face.
"It's almost as if he didn't exist before 1955. The first thing I can find about him online is a listing at the address on your street. He didn't buy that house, though. He rented."
Lexi stared at Ruth. "Even so, He must have had a bank, especially back in the 50s where there weren't any online payments or many credit cards. People needed to write checks back then, didn't they? How did he cash his paycheck without having a bank account?
He didn't get a paycheck.
What? He must have worked somewhere.
Can't find any record of a job.
Well, that is strange. How did he get money?
Apparently, he scammed it out of people, Ida said.
I wouldn't think that would be enough to make a living. Lexi tapped her finger on the table. So all we know is he hung around the neighborhood being a nuisance, and he went to the pub.
Where he was also a nuisance, Helen pointed out. And scammed people out of money, Ruth added. Did your contact at the bar have any other information?
He said one of my neighbors, Patty Sullivan, had an ongoing problem with Earl.
Patty Sullivan? Doesn't he live a few houses down from Jack?
Ida asked. Lexi nodded. Sam said Earl used to make passes at Patty's wife, and it made Patty pretty mad. He mentioned something about them fighting over it in the bar. Ida's left brow ticked up.
Jealousy is one of the prime motives for murder.
I know, Lexi said, but I can't believe nice old Mr. Sullivan would kill someone. Fighting's one thing, murder is another.
Very true.
Ruth pulled up a document on the iPad.
Now, let's go over the suspects and clues. Well, there's Violet, Ida said. My money's on her. She was asking about him in the bar, and she lived in that neighborhood. Then there's the neighbor you just mentioned, Helen said. Paddy Sullivan.
And my other neighbor, Floyd Nichols, Lexi added. He was seen fighting with Earl, and I already know he lied to me.
Let's not forget about the McDonald's, Helen cautioned. After all, the body was found in their basement. We should check that they really were in Europe.
And then there's the stranger that people keep referring to, Lexi said. Maybe we should see if there are any newspaper articles or police reports about him.
Good idea. I'll note that as an action item.
Ruth's snarled fingers flew along the surface of the iPad.
And we still need to talk to this Bobby Nussbaum. He had access to the basement and was refinishing it, so he's got to be involved somehow, Ida said. This is all so confusing, Helen sighed. I feel like a big piece is missing.
The thing that is missing, Ida said, is motive. We need to figure out why someone killed him. Then it should be easy to figure out who the killer is.
Lexi's phone chirped, notifying her of a text, and she looked at the screen. It's Jack. He says he has some new clues and wants to meet with us later at the bakery.
Good. That's just what we needed, Ruth said. Yeah, I could go for some scones and maybe a brownie, Ida added. No, I mean the new clues.
Ruth swatted Ida in the arm, and they all laughed.
I could use the clues and the pastry, Helen said. And hopefully Mona will show up. She lived in the neighborhood and knows all the people involved. I'm sure she can shed some light on this case.